Once upon a time, in a land called the Interwebs, there was a beautiful young maiden named Trigatry, and an evil, disgusting ogre who called himself Dylan, who was known far and wide.
Trigatry,
for...
what the hell are you doing?
I'm reading. I'm reading bad fan fiction.
Look, we need script. Yeah, it's real funny. We need scripts for the actors this week. It's the only way to stop them from regressing into the weird, like, possessed people they were last week. And you're sitting around reading fan fiction.
That's the best you could phrase that?
See, this is what we... Look, don't change the subject because you always do this. Look, just shut up. You wrote the line, first of all. And you probably wrote the story you were reading earlier, too, because it sounded like shit.
Yeah? Well, there are people who are worse at writing than I am. Yeah. Besides, I'm up for Writer of the Year.
That was a pity nomination.
Yeah. Well, screw you. You want scripts?
How many times can you say "yeah, well" in a minute-long opener? I want scripts. I said I wanted scripts, didn't I?
Fine. Then it's time for Bad Fanfiction Week Season 2.
Oh, joy. First up tonight is Ellie with a very special episode of Final Fantasy VII.
Warning, this is a little of a horror chapter, rated T for teens. May freak you out if you're a Marlene fan. Sorry, but I was bored. Really bored. Tifa sleeps with Cloud, and when Marlene finds them together, things get crazy around her. I warn you, so don't go flaming me saying that I didn't warn you. It was nighttime and yada yada. Tifa was washing the dishes and yada yada at the bar and yada yada yada. She stopped when Cloud came in, exhausted from his delivery work, and he fell on the floor, snoring. Tifa walked to him. Cloud? You okay? Me need bed. Now, he said. Well, there's a problem in your room, she said when she helped him to get up. She slowly took him to his room and opened the door, showing him that it was infested with little chocobos, jumping everywhere in his room and laying eggs in his bed. What? What are they doing there? Cloud asked.
Well, they were trying to fly to the south, but the south maybe was hotter?
They don't go south.
Okay, so I don't know what they were doing here, she said.
In my room, Cloud complained.
Well, Tifa responded while blushing a little, there's my room.
Yours?
Of course.
What about you?
Oh, I'll find a way, she said in a happy tone.
Cloud looked at her in an odd sort of way. She smiled again, and it started to freak him out. Tifa, are you... Oh, I got it, he said.
See me in my room in 30 minutes?
It's a date, he said while smiling.
Next day.
The light of the sunrise was shining on Marlene's window when she woke up. She slowly opened her eyes and sat up, yawning. She put on her sandals and walked out. She then saw Denzel making chocolate chip pancakes behind Tifa's back.
Where's Tifa?
She's still asleep, Denzel said.
And Cloud?
She asked. Maybe sleeping with the chocobos?
Is it done?
Almost.
I need to ask Tifa something.
Try to make sure that she doesn't come in here. She never lets us have chocolate chip pancakes, Denzel said while getting ready to flip the pancakes. Marlene walked to the door of Tifa's room. But before she could open it, she heard voices that sounded like moaning. It continued and it scared her. She instantly opened the door, finding two people sleeping with each other in Tifa's bed under the blankets. What she saw on the floor right beside the bed were the clothes of Cloud and Tifa. Tifa heard the door open and checked who it was. Right after she saw Marlene, that's when she realized that things were about to get worse, while she covered herself up. As for Denzel, he was finally ready to make the pancakes flip. Finally! No interruption! I get to flip this thing, he said. He raised the pan and got ready to flip it until he heard Marlene screaming out loud, and he lost concentration, and the pancake got stuck on the ceiling. Again. Marlene screamed. Dang, not again, Denzel shouted and then ran to where Marlene was screaming. Marlene, what's wrong?
It's them,
she shouted, pointing at Tifa and Cloud, and they covered themselves with the blankets. Tifa's face turned extremely red and she looked like the reddest radish. What the? Marlene, it isn't what you think. Don't talk to me! You promised! She shouted while running away. Denzel didn't say anything except for one thing. You've really done it. And then left. Tifa, maybe this was a bad idea. And what promise is she talking about? Cloud said.
Oops. Well, I promised her that I wouldn't sleep with the guy till I'm married.
Tifa! Cloud said while slapping his hand to his face. Why didn't you keep that?
I forgot.
You should never promise that you'll never have sex with a guy till you're married. That's almost hard to keep! Cloud shouted.
Okay, so it was my mistake. But I've got to find a way to make her forgive me, Tifa said.
You're on your own, Cloud said as he put on his clothes and left Tifa's room. Oh, Cloud, help me get out this flapjack. It's stuck in the ceiling, Denzel said while grinning to Tifa. Tifa began to think what to do. She walked to Marlene's room, which was closed, with a big sign that said, Stay out, Tifa. No Tifas allowed. Promise breaker.
Marlene?
She called.
Stay away!
Marlene screamed like a spoiled brat.
Okay, look. I'm sorry that I slept with Cloud, she said.
You promised! Marlene yelled back.
My mistake! Get out! But I'm not even in your room.
Marlene then opened the door with a very ugly, angry face, and she said with a very deep voice, Get out!
Wait till Barret comes back and grounds you, Tifa shot back. I don't care! She shouted
1 week later. Marlene was in her room for almost a week, which freaked out every Final Fantasy VII character. A lot. For Barret, it seemed like right now it's impossible to ground Marlene. It's like she'd completely changed. Now she was scary. Really scary. She was dressing up in black clothes.
Okay, what happened?
Yuffie asked. Marlene looks weird, Vincent said. All because of a promise? Cid said while smoking.
It wasn't just a promise. I promised that I would never sleep with anyone till I'm married,
Tifa said. And? Barret asked.
I did it.
She said. With who? Vincent asked while drinking.
Cloud.
Right after she said that, everyone was in shock. Vincent spit out his drink, Cid swallowed his smoke and started to choke, Barret fell back with the seat, and Yuffie accidentally dropped all her materia. You did it? Vincent shouted. You mean that you did it with Cloud? Barret shouted. Choking! A cigarette! Cid shouts.
Heimlich maneuver!
Yuffie shouted while helping Cid. He then spit out the cigarette while coughing.
That's it. I quit smoking,
he said while smashing the box of cigarettes. Tifa, you should never promise anything like that. Anyone can have sex at any moment without control, Barret shouted.
Not you too, Tifa said. Did you apologize? Yuffie asked. She wouldn't forgive me.
We're doomed, Yuffie said. It's mostly my fault, but I checked on Marlene. Since when did she have a boombox? Cloud said. All you can hear is that loud, hard rock music that's coming from her room. I'm gonna go talk to Marlene, Barret said. He walked to the door. Marlene? It's me, your father. Open this door, he said. But there was no answer. Marlene, open this door.
Go away.
Open this effing fucking door or I'll destroy it, Barret said while aiming at the door.
I don't think violence is the answer, Vincent says. For a little girl, at least.
Then you talk to her,
Barret said in an upsetting tone. Vincent slowly opened the door and got inside Marlene's room. The place was like a haunted house. Almost everything was covered in black. Even the girl herself. She looked at Vincent and smiled. Let's just say she dressed up as a goth.
Hello, Vincent.
Marlene, what happened here? Vincent asked, trying to keep cool.
I decided to change my room with my allowance,
she said. Vincent noticed a book that was on the floor and picked it up. Is this a book for voodoo?
Yep,
she said.
Vincent saw her holding a spoon which had a face and a fake wig, making it look like Tifa. She put it in a jar of water and started to shake it.
Sort of like in Lilo and Stitch.
Tifa needs to be punished.
What?
You're the right person I need, Vincent,
she said with an evil smile.
Marlene, why did you change your appearance from cute to black? He asked.
I just changed my appearance to get revenge on Tifa,
she said while putting her hands in her pockets and getting something out. Revenge? Vincent asked while getting creeped out.
Yep, revenge,
she said while getting out a knife. Marlene, let go of that knife, Vincent shouted.
Not till I kill Tifa,
she said in a gothic tone. I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
I know I can't hurt you with a knife. Maybe two,
she said, getting out another one. What happened to you?
This won't hurt much.
Vincent shouted while falling down the stairs.
Vincent!
Yuffie shouted.
What happened?
Tifa shouts. She's a monster! Vincent shouts. No one calls my Marlene that! Barrett shouted, but then someone threw a knife, grabbing Barrett's collar shirt and pinning him to the wall.
Oh, I wish she could have kept reading that whole story, but I had to cut it short.
That was a treat.
Nobody's ever going to know what happens now. You'll have to find it now if you want to know the conclusion of that.
I'm actually pretty interested in what happens in the rest of this.
It was like written... Well, I don't know. Okay, so what do you think of this, Chuck or Chew?
All right, so I liked your read overall. I thought that, you know, you spoke well. You characterized the characters well. However, I noticed you dropped a lot of words, or you changed a couple of words that were clearly not...
bad write, like typos.
Typos. You added a he said after Denzel gets to flipping the pancakes, and then you said open this effing fucking door when it read open this F door. And I don't know if you noticed something about the morals of this story, but these are pretty conservative morals here, so I don't think that the author intended there to be swearing in this.
Yeah, you have to look at this like if you were hired to read a book on tape or something. You don't want to, like... Well, it's good that you did fix a lot of the typos, and there are a lot of typos in this.
You're allowed to fix typos.
You don't want to change the tone of the story as quite as much as you did. This sounds like it was written by, like, a youth pastor or something. I loved your reading on the author's note, first of all. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I liked your characterization for the voices. I felt like sometimes when you were just narrating it, you had almost a little bit too many emotions. Like,
I don't think so.
Really?
I would prefer an emotional narrator as opposed to someone who just reads. Because I personally think that narrators always read with emotion. I mean, when there's... I think it's boring when people don't read with emotion.
Okay. Well,
and for also for any like parts I've gotten for narration, it's always been because I put emotion into it, and that's always the thing that people like, is that there's emotion in it. So.
Okay. I had the same note where you had that he said. You did a good job of fixing the typos though that were there.
Mm-hmm.
You changed also trying to keep calm to trying to keep cool, which again seems like a small thing, but if you were reading like a book on tape, the author might... Maybe the author said that for a reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
Although, this particular author, there's really no rhyme or reason to this story, but still, she had it a certain way, so... the deep voice you did for Marlene, your voices were so funny. And yeah. Your reading for this was really entertaining overall. I really liked it.
And I thought that you paid good enough attention to, like, the emotions written in the script and everything, so...
I thought you did, too. Yeah. I thought, overall, this was a pretty epic win read. Mm-hmm. Other than just the few notes that we gave you.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, Ellie.
Woo.
Are we done?
Yes.
Okay. Next up is Russ with a story about Football Head. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Russ. Take it away. As I promised to myself, here's the revised chapter. It's not longer, nor is it shorter, but beware of grinning like an idiot and giggling your ass off. I want to print a copy and give it to my English teacher to read. What do you guys think? Sheer embarrassment or a promising A in the next test? I don't think she'll necessarily think like we have to. Beneath, right? I sure do hope so. Warning or suggestion, either way, listen to people who really want to enjoy this story. You gotta think about what I write. Fantasize. I know I'm a perv, but I don't brag. It takes a perv to know one. I'm not that serious, though. You know, in bed? No, me don't like that. I'm too young for that. More along the lines of hot, watering, sexy, slow, mind-blowing kissing scenes. Think sexy. This is a sweet story, but I recommend thinking about what I say seriously. Also, it's just for fun. I'm not trying to offend anyone. What's that other thing? It's a little foggy. Something about dis... It's on the tip of my tongue. Disdain, maybe? Claim? Did I claim something? Now, why would someone think that? I can't remember the rest of the word. No joke, seriously. Even if it is part of the joke. Anyways, I own everything. Yeah, right. Psht, ha. Mr. Simmons knew something was up with Helga and Arnold. He couldn't let himself break free from the fourth grade class, and so he transferred to the high school. He somehow, innocently, without suspicion, coincidentally, now how about that, got homeroom teacher with them, and he was excited and happy beyond belief. Every day he saw every one of his special students' special personalities. Not the personalities made by spending time with them, but personalities deep within the soul, by looking at them act in their everyday lives. Everyone saw him as just another teacher, whereas this was far from the truth. He took advantage of it, knowing the old phrase, no one ever sees. Okay, so it wasn't really a phrase, but subconsciously everyone thought it and believed it. One day in the 10th grade class, Helga's and Arnold's argument got his attention. And from then on, he noticed he really had the dramatic class. He was so proud. He saw their entanglement with each other, and he saw there was more to these two than everyone thought. He would secretly smile as he noticed how Helga would do something cruel to get his attention, and he would always roll his eyes and sigh heavily. But then, Arnold would give her a knowing glance, and she would just grin. He knew everyone thought their relationship as classmates was brief, with Helga being the 10th grade bully and Arnold the goody two-shoes, but he realized it was nothing like that. He would look at Arnold working, and then quickly stare at Helga with a dreamy look. He even saw Helga text on her phone the other day. With any other student, he would have scolded them, but this was like a movie he watched. He couldn't wait to find out what happened. But he restrained himself from squealing when Arnold took out his vibrating phone and turned to Helga. He would wink at her, and she'd just usher him to work with a blush. Their mutual attraction was more than just boyfriend and girlfriend. Both realists knew more than that. He knew it. Knowingly. They would wait until everyone was out of the class before walking out together when the last bell rang, signaling the end of the school day. The next day, Helga, like always, would step into class first and let herself have a goofy grin on her flawless, beautiful face. Then when Arnold would walk in, he would give her a smirk and she would look away. He knew these things, and he knew that no one else knew, nor had the time to notice. Because of this, he was giddy as he saw how much potential these two had. That is why he would help them by partnering them up together for classroom projects. When Arnold would ask if they could work outside because he wouldn't want to disturb the other classmates with Helga's screaming, he would happily agree and give them passes. He would smirk as they walked out of the room overexcitedly. He knew they would go to a deserted hall and, kiss. He didn't even want to think of imagining that. And when the bell rang, they would quickly figure and write down the answers, walking into the room again flustered. He didn't really approve of it, but seeing as it was this particular couple, he didn't disapprove either. He knew this was a hard, cold fact because Helga's lips would usually be swollen. Arnold's eyes would be even more half-lidded, staring at her walking over to her desk. and because John the janitor had reported them kissing by the bleachers one time. He never actually knew how they'd get that managed, since the bleachers were right across the school. He never really knew how they would keep it a secret, because their love was obvious, even if his other students were too special to notice. He did notice, however, Gerald and Phoebe smirk when their friends would enter again. Phoebe would silently show her friend that her skirt was a bit ruffled, wink wink, and her neck would be occupied with a hickey. Gerald would show Arnold with a sly grin that his shirt was roughly loosened and his hair was messier than before. The two would turn around and quickly adjust the mess they'd caused. Helga would grab her jacket and cover the love bite with a fast force only Helga Pataki could muster. Arnold would send her a glance and she would instantly understand. "Your mind now," would cover his features with a smirk. She would give an equal intense look. "You haven't noticed?" Arnold would then smile victoriously and turn back to the board's direction. Helga would roll her eyes. Oh, the joys of being a teacher. "But why keep it a sacred special secret?" he smirked. "Probably because the students wouldn't allow it. Those two were practically yin and yang, and the pupils' brains were too flat to process that they were, in fact, perfect for each other. Or one or the other was scared. He didn't know. It was the perfect Romeo and Juliet story. But, he shrugged, maybe that was a bit overly dramatic. Oh well, he was the drama teacher. And dramatic was his special second name. "I liked it. I seriously caught myself reddening continuously when I finished reading the preview. It's not a drabble, but it's not a story. It's a Strabble. Yeah, the new brand of strange stories, Strabbles. Anyone want mints? I'm craving crazy for them. It's the strangest thing, isn't it? Please excuse me this time. I'm in one of my happy, smiling, grinning like an idiot, peppy, non-stopping, babbling, blonde, bouncy, dancing hyper moods. Not that I'm like that all the time. I hate faking a smile. It's sick. Or it's real, or it's not. Deal with it. I find myself a moping mess sometimes at home, and now I'm talking about my personally personal life with other strangers. No offense, I just don't know you. I actually have a friend that is known for her babbling. If she was here, you'd think I was awfully quiet, and now I'm babbling. Love can be a bitch." Did I say love? I meant rough. Lol. PM me if any of you girls know why I'm like this. It's so painfully not obvious. Lol. Anyway, I seriously think this is a masterpiece or a crap piece. It goes both ways. You'll be the judge by... You're not that dumb, are you? Reviewing! Lols.
Oh. How much you want to bet this was written by a 50-year-old man in disguise?
I don't know.
I need a shower. I'm, like, creeped out. My skin's crawling. But what?
Oh, No, I don't know. From the way that this particular author was acting in the author's notes, I'm pretty sure she was giddy with, I don't know, that, what's that thing called?
Like?
I think it's like that she's in. She's probably in like.
I think a 50-year-old man wrote it and did that as a cover-up. Anyway, I enjoyed the hyperactivity in your author's notes. Mm-hmm. But you knew that knowingly, didn't you, Russ? You have such a great narrator's voice. I thought you did a great job with this. I didn't really have any negatives for it. Which makes me sad.
Let's see here. I really like enjoyed this overall. I was kind of creeped out throughout it. I don't know. It might be the music.
It was the story.
I think. Maybe you should have gotten a little more lusty when you were talking about the hot watering, sexy, slow mind blowing kissing scenes.
And that would make the teacher even more creepy.
No, that was in the author's note.
Oh.
I think it would have shown a nice contrast within the author herself or himself. if there was that. Yeah, anyway. I don't know, I liked this overall.
I didn't like it, but that wasn't your fault. The story just creeped me out so much, but I liked your reading of it. I thought you did a great job. Good job, Russ.
Yeah.